Guys, boldness, really, that's really kind of the last thing Paul finishes up here in Ephesians chapter 6. And I think that probably for any letter to end on, boldness is the most important, because when you study through the Bible, or when you go to Bible study, or you do anything in the Lord, if you don't have boldness to carry it out, it really doesn't do you any good. Someone was sharing with me the other day something that I'd heard years ago, and it's so true. If you only take in all the time and never give out, you'll become stagnant. And probably the best visual example I know to give you of that is, if those of you that have ever been to Israel or ever seen pictures of the Dead Sea, or if you've ever heard about the Dead Sea. Guys, the way the Dead Sea is set up is you've got the Dead Sea at the very bottom of Israel, and you've got the River Jordan there running up from the Dead Sea that goes all the way up to the Sea of Galilee, where it goes on up from the Sea of Galilee to Mount Hermon, really the base of Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon would be good enough, on however you want to say it. And that's where its source comes out. The spring comes out right there, and then it breaks off into different rivers. It ends up coming back into, making one river, into the Jordan River. It flows down into the Sea of Galilee, and then the Sea of Galilee has an outlet on the other end of it, and it runs down to the Jordan, and what's interesting, or rather down to the Dead Sea. And what's interesting about it is, if you go to the Sea of Galilee, guys, it's teeming with life. It's just full of fish and marine activity, if you will. I mean, it's very alive and very flourishing. Why? Because it has a steady flow of fresh water coming in, and it has a steady flow of fresh water going out. And what that does is that prevents the water from becoming rancid or stagnant, which would, of course, kill the animals and stop the moving of the activity. As you know, there's oxygen generated as the water moves, and that's how the fish get their breathing. But if there's not, they die out. Well, it runs on down to the Dead Sea, and it just runs into the Dead Sea. But guys, there's no outlet. The Dead Sea just backs up, and because it's so dry down there, it evaporates at a very fast rate, and so it doesn't turn into like an ocean, so to speak, but it is a huge body of water, but there's nowhere for it to go out. And guys, I'll tell you, they call it the Dead Sea for a reason. It is dead. I mean, there you're not going to find anything living as far as the fish and any activity in the Dead Sea, because it has no outlet. And guys, that's just how we are. If we come every week and take in the Word of God and get fed the Word of God, and we have our own quiet times where we read the Word of God and take it in and soak it in, we're like that fresh spring that's flowing in all the time. But if there's no outlet, we're going to become stagnant. And maybe some of you guys have experienced that. You've taken it in, you've thought, well, why is my life so stagnant? Well, maybe you're not sharing. Maybe you have no outlet in your life so that your life can stay vibrant in the Spirit, and so that you can have just life, if you will. There's two ways to approach this. Now, a lot of you come from the background where if you've gone to certain churches, you pretty much have been beaten up on because you didn't share enough. And maybe it went something like this. You really need to be sharing your faith more. And we're failing as Christians if we're not doing that. Well, let me say that that's a true statement. I do believe that if we're not sharing our faith, yeah, technically we are failing as a Christian. Because Jesus said this, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So if we're not sharing Jesus Christ, it is true we're failing. But there's two ways to look at it. One is to beat ourselves up and try in the flesh to say, well, I'm going to start sharing, I'm going to do it, and just stay frustrated because it's not going to happen in our own strength and our own power. And then when we face those opportunities to share, you know what's going to happen? We're not going to share. And we're going to wonder, why don't we have the boldness, Lord? Well, again, tonight we're going to see how to get that boldness. But the other way is yes, we recognize, and I think it's healthy to recognize our failures. There's nothing wrong in that. As long as we don't dwell on them, and as long as we take them to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I see that I'm not really sharing as I should. God, help me, Lord, to have an outlet. I don't want to be the Dead Sea. I want to be the Sea of Galilee. And so give me that outlet. Help me to share whenever I can, you know, in any opportunity. And that's what we need to be vibrant. That's where we have to have that life, if you will. But peer pressure is an amazing thing. And we get around our peers, whether it be family or friends. And man, I tell you, we have a tendency to freeze up. And that's why Paul tonight's going to ask for prayer to be bold, and why we need to be asking. And I don't think just one time, I think on a regular basis, to be praying for boldness, and God will be faithful to give it. It's interesting about peer pressure, as I was just thinking about it today. You know, truly, it's too powerful for us to overcome on our own. It really is. And I think about our kids. Guys, what an opportunity as parents. If we can teach our kids to be bold for Jesus Christ while they're little, they're not going to have any trouble saying no to those kids about just general world stuff when they're older. But if our kids are going along with the crowd right now while they're little, then when they're sitting in the car and somebody pulls out that joint and says, come on, man, it's cool, everybody's doing it, or they pull that beer out, our kids are going to give in like everybody else's kids. It doesn't mean they don't love the Lord. It means that peer pressure is powerful. And so we ourselves have to deal with it as adults. And what an opportunity for us to help our kids deal with it. Man, they learn boldness now and how to get it through prayer and through the word, then they're going to be bold when they get older. It's interesting. A man by the name of Arnold Toynbee said this: it is doubtful if the majority has ever been right. What a profound statement. Oftentimes, don't you hear people say that the crowds can't be wrong? The majority can't be wrong. The masses can't be wrong. The Bible says the exact opposite. Jesus said the way to life, which is the right way, is narrow, and few there be that find it. But the way that leads to death is what? It's broad, and it leads to destruction. So what happens is, if you're going the way the crowd is, almost certainly you're going the wrong way, unless you're with a bunch of Christians. And I'll tell you what, when the crowd's going that way and you stand alone and turn around, if you don't ask for God's boldness and have God's boldness, you're not going to be able to do it. There are men I see in church history that I so admire for their boldness. And I know it was from the Lord. It wasn't them, but they knew the secret how to get it, to run to the Lord. Martin Luther in his day was practically the only man going against the flow. He was the only one pretty much in his area that was standing up against the false teachings of the church at that time. And guys, there was great pressure on him, not only just from people around him saying, you know, you better shut up, but legally, the church had been putting people to death for challenging it historically. And Martin Luther said, I don't care. I was reading an account today where they said, Martin Luther, you can't go there. They're going to put you to death. They said, all these officials there. He said, look, I don't care if there's more demons there than shingles on the roof. Martin Luther will be there. And that's the kind of attitude. Now, do you think it was because Martin Luther had his, you know, cape on? You know, and he, dun-ta-da, super Christian. No, you can never attain to this level, citizen, so don't try, right? No, guys, listen, we're all citizens of the kingdom, and nobody can attain to any level that's not available to everybody in this room. There's no such thing as a person who just has more boldness than the other guy. The only difference is, yes, personality plays a part, but I'll tell you, when the rubber hits the road and it gets serious, the only difference is the Holy Spirit. And that person's asking God to give them boldness. That's the difference. And it's got to happen before that moment. Because if you wait till that moment, you can't fill your tank up quick enough. You're going to need boldness before you get there. And that's why you never know when you're going to need boldness. You got to be ready at every moment. Jesus said this in Luke 9:26. He said, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Does that scare you? I mean, in the sense of a holy fear. It does me. When I think about it, I think, man, if I'm ashamed of the Lord, he's going to be ashamed of me. What does it mean to be ashamed of him? It means that we don't speak boldly of him, publicly and verbally. And let me touch on this. Oftentimes we, I think, convince our flesh, I'll just be a good witness silently. You've heard the term silent witness. I do believe on rare occasion you can be, especially when there's no opportunity to be vocal. But Jesus didn't say go into all the world and be silent witnesses to every creature. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus said, what you hear in the ear, whispered, shout from the rooftops. And yet, guys, we have pressure from, I believe, the enemy, as well as society saying, you know what, religion's a private thing. You need to keep that to yourself. Jesus came and kicked the doors open and said, religious is not private. Anybody that tells you it's private is going against me. It is public. I've done everything in the open, and now I'm sending you to go openly do the same thing. And even if, they'll reject me. They rejected him. But again, what's the key? The key is to do it in love and not to do it out of guilt. You know, I'm really failing. And all. No, the love of Christ constrains me. If I'm not mistaken, that's the theme of the women's retreat. You do it because you love Jesus. It should come from a heart that loves him. And if it's not a response out of love for him, that just shows us our heart needs to be worked on by the Lord. So then we go and spend time with him and say, God, give me such a love for you by your Spirit that I will do it just because I love you, not because Mark said so or anybody else said so, or I have to feel guilty and I don't want to be the Dead Sea. Make it happen so that it'll be real for me. Bear with me on this story. I wanted just to give you an example, a true story of a man by the name of Joachim von Zieten. It's written kind of in the old English style, so bear with me, but it gets the point across of the boldness that's needed and the boldness that can be used as this man stood before the king of his day. You know, we have trouble oftentimes before our brother or sister, literally, or somebody on the street or whatever. What would it be like if you went to the king? What happened if they would invite you to the White House? And they take you in the room, and here's Dick Cheney, there's the president, Condoleezza Rice, leaders of Congress, all they're in that room, and they look at you and they say, you know what, we know you're a believer, and we want your opinion about this. What do you think, and what do you think Jesus would think? Or you could say this, whatever it might be, any opportunity they want to give you to speak, and there's about to be a national decision made that's going to dishonor the Lord. Can you imagine the pressure to be quiet? Incredible pressure. Listen to this story. One of Frederick the Great's best generals was Hans Joachim von Zieten. Great name. I love that. He was never ashamed of his faith. Once he declined an invitation to come to his royal master's table, that is to eat with the king. He told him no, he couldn't come, because on that day he wished to present himself instead with the Lord in communion. Can you imagine the president saying, I'd like to have you come this afternoon at 2 o'clock. I have a special lunch and you're the guest of honor. I'm sorry, I was going to have some quiet time. I can't make it. That's what this guy did. The next time he appeared at the palace, the king, whose infidel tendencies were well known to all, made use of some profane expression about the Holy Communion of the Lord's Supper, and the other guests laughed at the remarks made on the occasion. So he told this joke about the Lord, mocked the Lord, and everybody laughed, because the king, if the king laughs, everybody laughs, right? Zieten shook his gray head solemnly, stood up, saluted the king politely, and said with a firm voice, Your Majesty, you know all well that in war I've never feared any danger, and everywhere have boldly risked my life for you and my country. But there is one above who is greater than you and me, greater than all men. He's the Savior and Redeemer, who has died also for your majesty, and has dearly bought us all with his own blood. The Holy One I can never allow to be mocked or insulted. For on him stands my faith, my comfort, my hope, my life, and my death. In the power of this faith, your brave army has courageously fought and conquered. If your majesty undermines this faith, you undermine at the same time the welfare of this state. I salute you, your majesty. Wow. Can you imagine saying that to the president? Mr. President, if you make this decision to not veto abortion, no matter the political pressure, no matter the fact that you may not get elected again to office, you're going to send America down the tubes. And we're going to be basically judged by. I mean, that's the kind of thing that's happening with all these world leaders. Can you imagine what you'd be facing? This open confession of his Savior by Zieten made a powerful impression on the king. You know, you don't see many men that are that bold. And I think even for those who oppose, that kind of boldness is respect worthy. Not for all, but for this king it was. He felt that he had been wrong in his attack on the faith of his general. And he was not ashamed to acknowledge it. He gave his hand to Zieten, his right hand, placing the left on the old man's shoulder, and said with emotion, Oh, happy Zieten, how I wish I could also believe it. I have the greatest respect for you. This shall never happen again. The king then rose from the table, dismissed the other guests, but said to Zieten, Come with me into my cabinet. What passed in the conference with closed doors between the great king and his greater general, no one has ever learned. But this we know, that the Lord's own words are now verified to Zieten. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him I will confess before my Father which is in heaven. I desire that boldness. How I wish I could tell you that if I was ever in the presence of the president, and I doubt that will ever happen, but whether it be President Bush or some other president, how I wish that if had the opportunity, I would be bold for the Lord to speak. I can't say that I would. Only the Lord knows, but nothing stops me from praying, does it? And nothing stops you from praying, does it? And you don't know what opportunities God's going to give you. When suddenly you're going to be standing there and a microphone is going to be in front of your face and the TV camera is going to be on you and they're going to say, why are you here? And you're going to say, what are you going to say? That's the moment right there. But if that moment's not prepared for ahead of time, you can't capitalize on the moment. First of all, let's look at the way to get boldness. Look at verse 19. He says this. Here's how we get it. Remember, the context is prayer. So he's saying, praying with all prayer and supplication. That goes in verse 19, and pray for me. That is, and for me. He's talking about prayer, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. First of all, again, the context of the prayer, he's asking the Ephesians to pray for him. Now, guys, Paul was one of the boldest men in history. If Paul's praying for boldness, how much more do we need to? I go, man, if this guy needs to be bold, this guy's standing before kings and leaders and all this stuff, and he's openly, you know, confessing the Lord. And he writes to the church and says, man, pray for me, guys. Pray that I'd have boldness. Look at the humility of the man. You know, he could have said, you know what, just, you know, follow my example and be bold like I am. You know, be men, you know, and there's nothing wrong in that. Encouragement. There's times we need encouragement to make a stand for what's right. I think we do need to be encouraged. But guys, when we're men or when we're women or when we're bold, where does it ultimately come from? It's the Lord. I remember hearing a story about another prominent church father who had been invited to speak to the king. They asked him to come in. The king was apparently an unbeliever, and they said, please come in and share with the king, you know, about what you believe. And he was extremely intimidated because, listen, back in the olden days, if the king didn't like you, you could be in big trouble. And the story goes, he was pacing back and forth in front of the door before he entered into the chamber going, the king's here, the king is here, the king is here, the king is here. And he said, God spoke to his heart like a bolt of lightning and said, the king is here. And he immediately calmed down. I said, wait a minute, which king am I trying to impress? Guys, everybody may hate you if you're in the wrong setting. But who do we want to love us, the world or the Lord? Now, I think our heart and our spirit always wants the Lord to be number one. But our flesh is weak, isn't it? It's weak. And I want you to know this. If you fail tomorrow, God gives you this golden opportunity and you don't do it, the Lord still loves you. You're still his child. He'll still dust you off and say, okay, it's time to pray again. It's time to get in my word. Let's try again next time. I'll wait a while. We'll open up another door. So you don't beat yourself up and I give up. I can't do it. He knows we can't already. God is not surprised when we say, Lord, I'm a failure. He just says, I'm so glad you finally realized it. Because how many years does it take the Lord to kind of convince us that we're not as great as we think we are oftentimes? The Bible says not to think more highly of yourself than you ought. And so we've got to make sure that, you know, hey, listen, if Paul needed it, we need it. And notice why he wanted boldness. Paul knew his boldness and ability came from the Lord. Rather, first of all, notice the words to speak. He says here that I may be given the words. Notice who is it that gives you the words to speak, guys? When God gives you an opportunity, who is it that gives you the words to use that opportunity? It's the Lord. Remember what Jesus said? He said, don't worry about what you'll say in that hour, for in that hour the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say. But now let me say this. Let's give it balance. If you're not in the word before that hour, how can you receive the word for that hour? You've got to have the word laid up for the Holy Spirit to bring it to remembrance. Jesus said to his disciples, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all things that I've taught you. But guys, if you don't know them, there's nothing to bring to remembrance. Now, you know what it's been like. You've been reading the word of God and all of a sudden an opportunity comes up and somebody asks you a question and all of a sudden you start remembering scriptures. It's not because you've got this photographic memory, although maybe some of you do, I don't know. It's because the Holy Spirit is now bringing it to your attention. He's saying, you know what, you need this, and so here it is. But you have to get it from him first. It's time in the word to get a word, if you will. So, also, it's interesting to me, this word given here, it comes with the meaning to get permission. And that's interesting to me. What he's saying is that God would give me permission to speak, and the words to speak, and the boldness to do it. What does he mean? That God would open up doors and opportunities. Guys, do you ever pray for opportunities to share? I'll tell you a good time to do it. Wherever you are at any moment. If you're standing there and you're talking to somebody, start praying quietly to yourself. Just pray, you know, and I'd encourage you to do it quietly to yourself if you're talking to them, because they're going to think you're crazy. Pray to yourself and say, Lord, give me boldness to share. And God, I also ask this, Lord, open up a door, open up an opportunity. I'll never forget an interview with Billy Graham talking with Dan Rather one time. And Dan Rather, this wasn't that long ago, and he's talking with Dan Rather, and he's saying, you know, Dan asked him a question. He said, so do you pray, you know, fairly often? There are certain questions people always ask to, you know, look religious or whatever to get you to say something religious and all that. He said, you know, do you pray for people on a regular basis? And I forget how the exact question went. And he said, yes, I do. He said, well, he said, so like, when do you pray? He said, I'm praying for you right now. And they were in the middle of an interview. Boy, I mean, it's kind of like, what do you say to that? That's pretty powerful. That's because he loved him. And he knows that Dan Rather needs the Lord. And so, again, just be praying when you're talking with people. General conversation. And I'll tell you one thing, man. Almost always a door will open up. If you'll just start praying, almost I can't think of a time that I was talking to somebody and wasn't praying for God to open up a door that he didn't open one up. Now, there are rare occasions where the Holy Spirit will not move on you to share. You'll be praying and praying and praying, and it's just like there's no opportunity, there's no door. And guys, I believe sometimes it's because people aren't ready to hear, possibly, or they've hardened their heart to it. And there's a time, you know, we don't throw pearls to swine. You know, there's certain people that are just going to mock it, and they're not going to receive it, and so the Holy Spirit might subdue you. But most of the time, God will open up a door, and when he does, take that advantage. And even when they make fun of it, I mean, even when people aren't receiving it well, obviously you don't want to keep throwing it out there for them to mock God's word, because the word tells us not to do that. But guys, even people that don't seem interested, plant seeds. All you're doing is planting a seed. The Bible talks about God's word going in our heart like a seed. Let it sit there a while. You leave, and it just haunts them. And then it begins to grow, and all of a sudden they've got to deal with that. I mean, you never know how God's going to use it, but it means to get permission, to use tact, not to force our way in and just to slam the door down. You know, you are going to hear about Jesus. Let me tell you something right now. No, just pray, you know, and you can oftentimes kind of help the door open a little bit and see where it's going. So you go to church anywhere? Well, you got one or two answers, either yes or no, you know, or I used to, or I haven't in a long time or whatever. And then you can begin to share. It's a very easy transition. And Paul here is saying, you know, I pray that God would give me this there in verse 19. But next also, not only the way to get boldness, now the purpose of boldness, notice after he gives the words, notice what he says here. He says that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Open his mouth. It was a common phrase when it meant to in a public address. What he's saying is this. When he says that I may open my mouth, what he's saying, pray that I wouldn't be afraid to share publicly. You see, Ephesian church, here's what I'm asking. Sometimes Paul the apostle gets scared when I have to share vocally. And because I get scared when I have to share vocally, I want you guys to be praying for me because God keeps opening up opportunities. He's called me to this. So just be praying that I'd be bold and I wouldn't be afraid. I need that prayer. I can say, pray for your pastor that he would pray, that he would be able to vocally and publicly share, and pray for yourself and us pray for each other that we'd be able to speak publicly. And that's what Paul's asking for, that open the mouth. It's a public address, boldly. I wrote down the definition of boldly because a lot of times these words have multiple meanings. But listen to what it says when Paul says, I want you to pray that I'll speak boldly. Here's what Paul's asking for, literally, from the language. He says this, freedom in speaking, unreserved in speech, holding nothing back, open, frank, without concealment, clearly, without use of figures and comparisons, you know, not just kind of speaking a little spiritual, I mean, getting to the point. Free and fearless confidence. Don't you love that? And I like this one. Cheerful courage. Fearless, confident freedom in speaking. And then lastly, to connect with. What a way to wrap that package up with a nice bow. What it means is just being bold to say it just like it is. Joe, I know this may upset you, but here's the bottom line in your life. You need Jesus. You're living a life contrary to God. It's no wonder you're miserable. You need his love. You need his power. He'll forgive you right now if you'll do it. And to be able to connect with him, you know, you just don't walk up and say that. You've been talking a while. But when the doors open and say, man, look, your life's falling apart. Well, no wonder it's falling apart. Man, you need Jesus Christ in your life. God is allowing your life to fall apart because he's turning your eyes onto your sin so that you'll repent of it and so that you'll turn your eyes to him and you'll get saved. Man, you can do it right now. It's that open, frank, cheerful courage, confident freedom in speaking. That's what Paul says he wants. Guys, that's what I want. I don't always have that, but I desire it. And when God gives it to me by his grace, I love it. And that's what we need to be praying for, is for God, by his grace, to be giving us that on a regular basis. Because, guys, that's what people need to hear. And then we need to be able to connect with them. Remember Jesus talking to the woman at the well? He just started a conversation. Could I have a glass of water? Well, sure. Well, why are you talking to me? Because back then, men didn't talk to women in public, especially the Jews to the Samaritans. It was a cultural difference there, a cultural thing. She says, so why are you talking to me? He says, look, if you knew who I was, you'd ask for the water that I have to give. You'd never thirst again if you drank it. So he gets her interest up. He just starts sharing, you know, hey, you need to know more about the Lord. You need to know God's love, in essence. And then he comes down to the bottom line. He brings another question. So where's your husband? Bring your husband back with you. I want to talk to both you guys. Well, I don't have a husband. Yeah, you're right. You don't have one. You've had five. And the one you're living with now is not really your husband. Who are you? You know, and then she gets religious, right? You ever talk to people, if you try to share the Lord, they get religious on you and start talking whatever. They're scared. But he gets away from the religion and back to the point and says basically to her, you know, you need Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. I'm the Messiah right here. And you need to turn from your sin and get right with the Lord. Open, frank, straight to the point. But he used tact. He used the leading of the Spirit there as God led him. And so it was perfect, obviously, with the Lord doing it, the perfect way to do it. But why else did Paul need boldness? Well, you got to remember, guys, in this day, Christians were being put to death wholesale. By some estimates, for the first 270 years of the church, over 6 million Christians were put to death. Guys, that's just like the Jews in the Holocaust. We think about how horrible that is. The Christians already had that happen. The first 270 years of the church. That's why they needed boldness. You see, back then, today you share your faith and somebody might go, I don't want to hear that. Back then you shared your faith and they'd say, arrest them. And they say, if you don't pinch incense to Caesar, and they have this little incense you have to go up and pinch and to drop on this altar type thing to give a homage to Caesar because they treated him as though he was a god. If you didn't do that and sign a piece of paper that said Caesar's the Lord, they'd put you to death. Now, it was okay. It was okay if you did that and you could still keep your God. You could be a Christian if you would just pinch incense to Caesar. But guys, the true Christian can't do that. They have to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that, no matter how respectful it may be. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood before Nebuchadnezzar. He said, you won't bow down to my God? And they said very respectfully, even as Von Zieten did, they said very respectfully, sir, whether our God will deliver us or not, he will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we can't bow down to your God because we serve the true and living God and we can't violate that trust in him. Again, what did he do? He threw him in the fire, and God protected him. And sometimes God protects in the fire. Sometimes God doesn't, but either way, God uses it for his glory. And there are believers right now in the world dying for their faith. There's a fellow I was just reading about in prison right now in one of the Arab countries, whether it was Pakistan or Saudi Arabia, I don't know. But anyway, he's in prison right now for his faith, and he was supposed to die here real soon, but they're going to let it go back to court to give it another hearing or whatever, simply because he doesn't believe that Muhammad is the way to God. And he won't bow to that. Now, I don't know his whole story. I don't even know if the guy's a Christian. I just know that in other countries, if you stand up for something that opposes their God, you can be put to death. We're very privileged as to where we live right now. So notice thirdly here what Paul wanted to speak boldly. He wanted to speak the gospel. He said that I may speak not just boldly, you know, about his church or about whatever. We're not supposed to go into all the world and spread our church. I mean, I love the church I go to as well as anyone else, but, you know, God didn't call us to go out and preach Calvary Chapel in Knoxville, did he? God said, go in Knoxville and preach the gospel and wherever else you happen to be. So he said, I want to speak boldly the gospel. And that is, the gospel just means how to be saved, leading people to Jesus Christ. So how do we get it? We pray for it. That's the first thing. You want boldness? You simply ask for it. But I believe it's more than a one-time thing. Paul says, pray for me. But it's interesting. When Jesus said, when you're seeking the Father, he said, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open, ask and it will be given. It's in the aorist tense in the Greek, which doesn't mean a lot to you other than this. It means in a continual and regular basis. In other words, let's read it in a more literal sense. It would be ask and keep on asking on a regular basis. Knock and keep on knocking on a regular basis. Seek and keep on seeking on a regular basis, not just a one-time thing. That's what we need to be doing when it comes to asking God for boldness. So the way of boldness, the way to get it, the purpose of boldness, and then finally we come to the reason for boldness. Look at verse 20. He says, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. What's an ambassador? Well, an ambassador is one who goes in the name to represent another. It's where the authority of who sent the messenger is more important than the messenger who brings it. In other words, you're representing someone. And what Paul is saying is, I'm an ambassador in chains for Jesus Christ. Guys, you're ambassadors in chains for Jesus Christ as well. We're all ambassadors. We are messengers on this earth to tell people about God. Now you see why it's so essential that we pray for boldness so we can do it. If we live our whole life, can you imagine an ambassador that America sent over to Russia and then never to tell the guy why he came? He shows up over there and says, the ambassador of the United States. Bum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum. Come on. How are you here? Why are you here? Just want to talk. You have no message? Well, not really. I don't have time for this. It's kind of like, you know, go home. Now, we laugh about that, guys, but think about it. We're ambassadors. We've been given time on this earth for a specific purpose, and that is to share with those God brings us in contact with. That's our purpose. If we don't do it, we've missed our very purpose for existing. That's why it's so important to pray that we have this boldness to be able to share and for asking or ask God to give it to us. Now, it was typically a place of honor. Even back in the older times, if you were an ambassador for your enemy, let's say you had two countries. If the enemy's ambassador came, they would oftentimes let him through to come bring the message and then let him go back. So it was a place of honor, even though you were the enemy. But not for Paul. He says, I'm an ambassador, but I'm an ambassador in chains. So what a contrast here. It's not a typical ambassador, but guys, you know what? The world is God's enemy, and we're ambassadors as well, but we're also chained, if you will. The world tries to chain us up. I mean, Paul was literally chained to a Roman soldier, but he was spiritually chained to Jesus. And that's where we are as believers. We should be spiritually chained to the Lord. That is, God, everywhere I go, you're with me, and I'm going to pray you give me boldness to share everywhere that I go. And God will be faithful to do that if we do that. Be official ambassadors for him. So again, the reason why we need to share is because we're official ambassadors. And don't expect the red carpet to be rolled out and need little songs to play before you come in. Oftentimes they may just boot you out the door and say, hope you never come back. But you're still an ambassador. And remember, guys, when they do that to you, the ambassador, it's not you they're doing it to, is it? No, it's the one who sent the ambassador. That's who it is. Now, again, Paul mentions speaking boldly here, but this time he says that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Listen to what the word ought means. It's a necessity, a need to, what is right and proper, necessary in the circumstances, what is required, an ethical and religious obligation. He's saying, I've got to. It's my duty. My duty is to share publicly Jesus Christ with those that I come in contact with. So that's why he's saying that I would speak as I ought to speak, because sometimes, obviously, Paul didn't speak as he ought to speak, or he wouldn't be asking for prayer to speak as he ought to speak, or if he did always speak as he ought to speak, he knew that he had the potential not to. And so he's saying, I don't want to get there, so be praying for me. And guys, you need to know this. God would not require us to do something and make it an obligation that we couldn't do. He wouldn't do that. God's never going to ask you to do something that he doesn't give you the power and the ability to do. And again, it's only going to come by the Lord and by his empowering. So prayer and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not going to go into that this week. We talked about it some last week. But guys, you need to ask God to come upon you with his power. Because the power, that's what the Holy Spirit coming upon you is for, to empower you for ministry. It's the gas for your spiritual car. If you don't have any gas, it may look great. You may say, man, that's a neat looking car. Let's go for a ride. Yeah, it does look great, doesn't it? Well, we can't go for a ride. Why not? Well, it doesn't have any gas in it. Well, put gas in it, dummy. I mean, it looks great and it's nice and all, but you're not going to be able to use it if you don't. Yeah, but doesn't it look nice? And by the way, if I never drive it, it'll never get dented, never get dirty. Guys, when you fill up with the Holy Spirit and you start driving around the world to share your faith, you're going to get some dents. You're going to get banged up a little bit. You're going to get some dirt flung on you. That's just how it is. But God has a great car wash. God is faithful to wash you up, cleanse you off, and get you ready to go again and fill you back up and send you out. So pray for it. God will give it to you. Now notice what he says here as he wraps it up. He says, but that you also may know my affairs and how I'm doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you. So he says, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your heart. So basically just Tychicus is going to come and let you know how I'm doing, how he's doing, and just kind of catch you up on our affairs and how we're doing and what's going on. And notice this, he says in 23 and 24, peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Now, in the last two verses, Paul speaks of this peace, love, faith, and grace. If you notice, he uses them there in that order in those last two verses. Remember where he is. A guy, he's chained to a Roman guard in prison, and he's writing a letter about peace, love, grace, and faith. Guys, the other thing to realize when you're filled with God's Spirit, not only do you get boldness, you have the ability to rise above your circumstances. When you're not filled with the Spirit, most of the time, matter of fact, I can guarantee we're under our circumstances. So how do we rise above them? We ask for God to fill us fresh with his power, with his Spirit. And God can do it no matter what the circumstances are. You know, you can chain the messenger, but you can't chain the message. And people have tried over the centuries to lock up Christians and do away with them, to burn Bibles. And guys, all it does is get people more fired up, so to speak. Kind of reminds me of the prisoner who said, you can lock me up and throw away the key, but you can't keep my face from breaking out. Now, that's corny. It'll hit. No, he did hit. It's just not funny. Guys, people can try to shut God's word up, but it's going to break out. You can't stop it. And here's Paul in prison writing letters. Nothing to add. Let him send a letter. Well, big deal. What will that hurt? 2,000 years later, we're here studying it and people are getting fed. What's one little letter hurt? Let him send it. Guys, you don't know what you're going to say, the impact it's going to have on those around you. So he finishes up saying, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Literally, and I'll read it to you in a clearer meaning. He says, grace be with all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ more than themselves in sincerity. You see the word there, love is agape. And it means it's a selfless love. It's a love where just because you love the Lord, you want to do these things, not because you have to. Remember, it's the love of Christ that constrains us. And so loving Christ more than ourselves, if we do that, guys, we will experience God's grace as we put him first in our life in sincerity and honesty and truthfulness and humility. And yes, in boldness. But it's going to take a regular thing of prayer. Again, the last thing I want to do is leave you here beat up. So this is not a beat up session. If you're like me, you're probably thinking of opportunities that you've blown in the past. Now, I don't have one in particular right now in my mind, but it wouldn't take me long if I wasn't focused on sharing with you what I'm sharing. Because there have been plenty of times where I've had opportunities and the fear of man and a lack of boldness and peer pressure has overridden what I knew I should do as God's ambassador to Jesus. He sent me here for this reason. If I don't fulfill it, I've wasted my purpose as far as other than obviously bringing him glory, the number one purpose, but then sharing. So I want to end with this. I want us to pray and ask for God to give us this boldness. We're just going to ask him. We're going to basically say the same thing, a little more extended version here, the same thing Paul did, but just kind of with the definitions of what the words mean here, and just ask for God to give us boldness. And I want to start it tonight, but I want to encourage you guys, let it carry on. Continue to pray. Remember, keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. Don't stop now. And ask God on a regular basis, every day to fill you with the Spirit, every day to give you boldness, every day to give you opportunities. And God will be faithful to do it. And then you'll be fulfilling your purpose as an ambassador for Christ down here, going into all the world and spreading the gospel. And again, God knows we're weak. So don't leave frustrated on the failures. Let's just confess them to the Lord and ask God to help us to now take it to a new level in him. And that is in boldness. Why don't we pray? Father, we want to do that, Lord, right now, God. We want to just bring ourselves before you, Lord, right now. Bring our hearts before you. And God, just to say, Lord, forgive us, Lord, of the times that we haven't shared like we need to. But God, I ask this, please, Lord, don't let the enemy beat up your flock tonight in telling them what failures they are or that I am or that we are. God, we know that we fail. But Lord, you've given us an ability by the power of your Spirit to rise above our failure. And so we come before you humbly, Lord, not feeling like we have to be driven by guilt and not feeling, Lord, like we have to be whipped into submission. But God, I pray that right now you would fill our heart with such a love that we could say with Paul, the love of Christ constrains me. Lord, that we do it simply because we're madly in love with you, not because we have to or because the pastor said to or because we feel guilty. Lord, what terrible motivations those are. But I pray our motivation would be love, first for you and for the lost. But Lord, we admit our weakness right now. We admit that we fear man. We admit that we lack boldness. And God, I think of the early church, even before Paul, praying for boldness, that they would speak as they ought to speak. God, living in a day when there was much opposition. Well, Lord, there's a lot of opposition today too. Not like it was there, but we still have opposition. And God, I pray that even though our circumstances are much less, God, all the more I pray that we would be able to, God, give ourselves over to you in such a way and be filled with your Spirit in such a way that we'd be able to rise above rather than continuing underneath. Lord, I ask God that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. I ask you to come upon us with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would just empower us for the ministry, Lord, that you've called us. And we know that we're ambassadors. And I ask that you would now, you've given us the authority, Lord, help us to realize it and help us now to have the boldness to use it. And Father, I pray, even as Paul did, that you would give us the words to speak. Then you would open our mouths to share Jesus in an unreserved way, openly, frankly, without concealment, clearly, without use of figures and comparisons, fearlessly confident and cheerfully courageous, so that we might with honor, Lord, wear the uniform that you've given us as an ambassador. Lord, it is an honor to be an ambassador for a nation, but what a greater honor to be an ambassador for the Creator of all nations, the King of all the universe. Lord, we wear it humbly. I pray we would wear it responsibly. And God, now by the power of your Holy Spirit coming upon us, we would wear it courageously. Lord, we need your help. And we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.